With equanimity as the theme for this retreat, a question, a practice question, Dharma question, is that whenever you don't feel not equanimous, whenever something challenges your peace, your stability, you find yourself agitated, to ask yourself, how can I be equanimous with this? Or where, in what way is there equanimity now, in spite of the agitation? And it's important to remember that equanimity does not mean approving of something or acquiescing to it or feeling that it's somehow not okay to have the experience. It's simply the recognition that given what's happening, perhaps it's not necessary for the mind to become contracted or the heart to get agitated. And to ask how to be equanimous with this is to ask how you can shift your relationship to the experience. So the relationship is balanced, tranquil, wise, as if you can have a wise overview of, oh, this is what's happening. It's like this. Oh, is that so? And as a factor of awakening, the equanimity factor of awakening, it's the kind of equanimity or balance where we have the understanding, the wisdom, and the dedication to hold the course with practice, to not get sidetracked with thoughts and ideas, and even not to get sidetracked with emotions. But rather to keep the ship focused on being here, moment by moment, and equanimity here is a steadiness of focus and the wisdom that might not be necessary to go off into stories, ideas, go off into trying to fix something. It's okay just to stay focused. And if your primary focus is your breathing, wandered off. Sometimes it's nice to, when you begin again with your breathing, to take a little bit deeper breath than usual, just to make that connection, to allow there to be a somatic reminder of the experience of breathing. And to settle on the experience of breathing with your body, wherever you feel the experience of breathing, perhaps softening, relaxing your body around the breathing. With the breathing. Under the breathing, so it's supported. Perhaps relaxing the thinking muscle, softening the place where there might be pressure, energy, or tightness connected to thinking. Physical places where there's activation around thinking. To soften the edges of, that activation. Soften the heart of it. And as you soften, relaxing further into the experience of the body breathing. The body senses the sensations of breathing. And steadying yourself in the experience of breathing. Maybe in the way that you would steady your hand, steady your mind, to thread a needle. Settling into the heart of the experience of breathing, whatever that feels like to you. And see if for a few breaths, maybe even three breaths, you can stay with the breathing and allow your thoughts and whatever else comes up wash along the hull of the boat, wash away as you hold steady on the breathing. Perhaps for a few minutes, you can take the chance that there's nothing you need to think about whatsoever. It can be a thinking vacation. And for these few minutes, stay with the experience of breathing And whatever thoughts happen to come up, let them just wash by and recede into the background, waves after wave. But staying with the point of the bow, point of the front of the ship, here, moving through the present moment with your breathing. Recognizing the ephemeral nature of thinking, so you're not so pulled into their authority, insistence, pulled into their orbit, thoughts come and go. You've had a lot of thoughts in your lifetime. And the thoughts you're having today will end up in the same place as where your thoughts that you had 10, 20, 40 years ago. Long forgotten. They're ephemeral, they come and go. And without rejecting them or judging them as being wrong, perhaps you can just simply shift your interest for a few minutes. No longer give your interest to your thoughts. Giving your interest to the breathing. A steadiness on the breathing. Perhaps borrowing the silence around you in this room, borrowing it so that you can bring it in to your awareness, so there can be a silent awareness of breathing, of the body. So you become attuned to the silent way that breathing is experienced in the body. A silence without, outside, silence within. And perhaps there is a sweet tenderness of being here with yourself and your breathing. A sweet tenderness that maybe is deeper than any thoughts you can have about what's happening. Certainly deeper than being distracted in thoughts. Maybe settling into a sweet tenderness of breathing in and breathing out. Trusting that the ship is moving ahead towards liberation. Staying simple and steady, one breath at a time, one in-breath, one out-breath. Surrendering to just breathing. Underneath your thinking, beyond the edges of your thinking, there is silence and stillness, spaciousness. Allowing the awareness of breathing to share in some of those qualities of what is beyond the edges of thinking. The silence, the stillness, spacious awareness within which breathing helps you keep the course just here. If you wander off in thought, allow yourself to slide back onto the breathing. Perhaps turning up the corners of your mouth a little smile that reminds you that there can be joy or delight or appreciation of the simplicity of awareness sliding back and forth on the breathing sliding in and out through the awareness, settling in and being steady with the breathing. And if there's any tranquility in your body, even just little traces of it, let the fullness of tranquility be a home for breathing. In the last few minutes of this sitting, see if you can trust equanimity, the equanimity that allows you not to get involved in your thoughts, but lets them just slide by. Nothing to get excited about or nothing to reject. Just let them slide by as you stay with the breathing. Quiet awareness. So it's fairly customary on these week-long retreats that today would be the day to offer instructions on mindfulness of thinking. And so I did, in a certain way, different than usual. To say it simply, it was mostly just to don't get involved in your thinking and hold the course with your breathing. Normally, I would say something like, there are no distractions in mindfulness practice. And if thinking is predominant, you can make that the object of mindfulness. And that's true. But with this emphasis on equanimity, it felt to me that that kind of instruction can be misunderstood. And it could be a subtle or not so subtle way of perpetuating our thinking. Because a fair amount of ongoing thinking, discursive thinking, is there happening because of the absence of equanimity, or say it differently, is happening because in some big or very subtle way, it represents the fact that we're attached to something, there's clinging to something, and we're not necessarily innocently having a fantasy or telling a story or having a conversation and all that. It does represent some kind of preference or strong interest or some kind of attachment we have. And so to simply say it's okay to think, just be aware of your thinking, might not help a person get to really see that they're attached to something. It's attached to self-concern, or attached to pleasure, or attached to safety or something that's perpetuating it. And sometimes it, by doing concentration practice, just staying with the breath and not allowing oneself to go into those thoughts, can better reveal that actually there's a strong interest, disposition towards thinking or ideas, or there's that kind of, you can feel the glue towards them, or the attraction to them, or the pull. You can start seeing and feeling some of that, what that bond is that keeps us involved in thinking. So I wanted to say just a few words about different kinds of thinking. This helps, I think, with understanding what we're talking about. There can be very simple thoughts, and I use the word thoughts rather than thinking. A thought is a single thought. Thinking is a train of associated thoughts. And there can be very simple thoughts that recognizes this is an itch. It's an itch. Or I'm warm. Or this is an in-breath. This is an out-breath. Just very simple recognition. And that's just kind of a natural function of the mind. Sometimes it's with words in the mind. Sometimes it's seemingly a wordless cognition. But there's a kind of recognition. Oh, this is what's going on. Sometimes there can be very simple guidance or inquiry that goes on. You know, this is an itch. I think, you know, what would it be like to bring my mindfulness and really feel the itch? Or, I've had a lot of itches. It's a mild itch. I think let's see what it's like to stay with the breathing and ignore the itch. So there's very simple little kind of guidance, thoughts, inquiries that go on that are almost like single thoughts. That can, okay, let's do this. Let's try this. be with this. Let's hold the course. Sometimes it can be a very gentle, loving cheerleader, coach. It's okay. Stay with the breath. Stay there. It's okay. It's okay to stay. Stay. And it's a kind of simple thoughts that actually keeps you in the boat of practice, keeps you kind of going, keeps you focused, keeps you involved in it, rather than taking you away from it. There can be very simple thoughts that bubble up. There can be memories. There can be plans. There can be all kinds of things that just bubble up. And they're still kind of in the realm of just a thought. They just kind of waft up. They have no weight. They're thin. Maybe they have very little power to them. Who knows why they appear? And if you have a habit of thinking every thought is important, you probably, latch on. But it's possible just to have these wafting thoughts that come through. Just say, oh, just random. It's almost like, these aren't my thoughts. They're just thoughts. They're just wafts. The brain, that's what it does. It's a thoughting machine, and this little thought wafts up. And then there is thinking about things, which is taking a subject, a topic, and really beginning to think ongoingly about it. And sometimes this takes the form of discursive thinking. And it's the discursive thinking, the active, ongoing thinking, taking a topic, concern, subject, and really working it and reflecting on it and fantasizing about it, that more often than not will take you away from the present moment attention. Just here, here, here. And that's kind of really that's where it should be helpful. Just let it, just let it recede, the hull of the boat, just wash away. Don't get involved. Sometimes it's just helpful to stay, keep your focus. Because the involvement with it, there's nothing wrong with thinking, but the real key of all this is how we're involved in it. And it's the involvement, the pull into it, the jumping into it, that will often keep us, it's kind of like taking the boat and it goes across, it settles on the sandbank. You have to be there until the tide comes in, lifts it up. And that's what we need to be careful for. If you can let go of it easily, it's a fine thing to do. You'll have plenty of opportunity to think more. You're not being disloyal to your thinking. If it's particularly strong and you're really on the sandbank of your thoughts and you're not really able to go back in the water and keep the boat going on where you're going, then it's useful to do mindfulness of the discursive thinking. Name it. Look upon it directly. Look it right in the eye and say, I see you. I know what you are. You're thinking. You're a discursive thought. And that kind of looking it right in the eye and saying that is kind of like stepping back, getting the equanimous overview, not being in conflict with it, but also not allowing yourself to be caught in that relationship with it, entangled with it. If it's particularly strong, it can be helpful to tune in, notice what the emotions are that are keeping it going. Often emotions are the fuel that keeps it, these things going. And often the discursive thoughts are not that important. What's important, the strong discursive thought, more often than not, is the underlying in the present moment, what's happening right now in the emotional and physical body. That is a fuel for it, that's really processing something. If you remember, I said the body has its own intelligence. It has its own way of processing our life. And we get distracted by the noise, the one that can speak. But if you can keep composting this back into your body, and trusting that that's where the real work can be, You don't have to solve it or figure it out in the mind. Occasionally, there are such big concerns and emotional storms in our life, big events in our life, that it's not realistic to let go of your thoughts. It's not going to happen. It's not really the point. And that thinking is actually part of the whole psychophysical system trying to process something. And then you don't want to, you know, I think it's better just not to try to let go of your thoughts, or it's still kind of not good not to get too involved in them, but it's just you let them run. And I found the most useful way to do that is to constantly come back into the body. Just come back and feel the body, feel the body. Or I like the idea of composting back. Whatever the feelings, the emotions are, whatever the sensations are that go with that kind of concern, respect it, but just compost, bring it, bring yourself back to how it is in the body. Compost it, bring it back into the body, trust the body with it. So not rejecting the thoughts, but just like coming home here, let the body be the process. So depending on the kind of thoughts you have maybe a different relationship to it. But if they're very simple little thoughts that keep you in the practice, by all means, keep them going. As long as they keep you present, when they stop keeping you intimate with the experience, then you can let go of them. If there are simple wafting thoughts that pass through, maybe just let them kind of wash off the side of the boat. No need to get involved. And if they're discursive thoughts, I'd encourage you to be, first strategy to begin with, let go of them. Or the almost equivalent is rather than let go of them, reestablish yourself. Devote yourself just to be with the breathing or be in the present moment experience of breathing. So you're not really giving them much energy. Maybe they can just be, you know, be on the side and they'll keep washing off the hull continuously. But you hold the course, hold the course. At this point in the retreat, it might be useful for you to give yourself a little bit more over to the schedule, a little bit more over to the practice, and to have more continuity throughout the whole day. And one way to do that is to consider a sitting period, a walking period, and a sitting period to be one block of practice. If you can, maybe avoid even getting tea during that time or doing anything more than just really what's necessary. So you're really just staying close and intimate and to the practice. You kind of just, when you get up from the hall here, the getting up and the walking out is as much a walking meditation as when you get to the walking hall. And if you do need to go to the bathroom, do bathroom meditation. Let it be just as much as as sitting here in the hall. And really try to stay close to the samadhi bubble. Stay close in to the immediacy of how you're experiencing things in your sense doors. Close this bubble of being here. This bubble that we leave if we wander off in thoughts and start thinking about things. So if you're in a library, we're a little bit more quiet than usual. If we're in a big cathedral, maybe we're more quiet than usual. Just maybe, if you can imagine yourself at a retreat center, and maybe then also you kind of like get quiet inside with your thoughts, quieter. And may you enjoy the day.